If you're like me, you probably have a closet full of local band merch. And whether you know it or not, a lot of that band merch was probably made by Divine Shirt Company right here in Winnipeg. Divine Shirt Company has made all of the Great Witch Police merch, from our hoodies to our toques to our t-shirts. And if you're looking to get anything done, like screen printing, embroidery, graphic design, digital printing, go to see Divine Shirt Company at divineshirtcompany.ca and tell them Witch Police Radio sent you.
One of our colleagues, Sam Thompson, who, if you saw him, you'd sort of right away assume he was a hippie.
Witch Police Radio. Witch Police Radio. Oh, no, no, no.
Witch Police Radio.
Welcome to Witch Police Radio. I'm here with a guest who is, I guess you're part of the four-time appearance club at this point now. You've been on the show a lot of times. Over the years, and I'm always happy to have you on because you're always doing something very interesting. I'm going to get you to introduce yourself in a minute, but I'm very excited to talk to you now. The record, I've been listening to it pretty much nonstop since it came out. I have a lot of questions about it. I really enjoy it. So let's just start this off with you introducing yourself and give a bit of background about what you do as an artist.
Thank you for having me, Sam. It's always a great opportunity to talk with you. My name is Tichana. I'm a drummer and composer, and I was raised in Winnipeg. I went to school here to the U of M, did a Bachelor of Jazz Performance degree, and then went to Spain to do a master's in performance. And I guess I've been the past few years working on trying to figure out what kind of music I want to write. I think that's been the biggest thing that I've been working on. And I've been coming at it from different angles and different approaches and different ways of writing and figuring all this stuff out as I go. And this latest project has been a little bit different because it's not my ideas. Like the songs are not my ideas. The songs are me acting as a vehicle for Ukrainian war stories that refugees have shared with me. And
that's the focus of your documentary too. That just came out. That you're sort of the driving force behind that as the character everyone's following when you're watching the film. And also obviously, like you said, talking to refugees, using their experiences as sort of a filter to what you created musically afterwards. So I love the album. I've been listening to your stuff for a long time. I think this is the best one you've done, like hands down. I listened to it before I saw the documentary too. So I listened to it before and I listened to it after, and it is definitely a different experience. I think hearing it for the first time, which I really got into it, and then hearing it with that context around sort of, you know, what the stories are that inspired the music on the record. How did this whole project get started? Obviously, there is a lot of conflict going on in the part of the world that you're from. It's been international news for years now. You know, everyone sort of has a general idea what's been going on there. What made you want to pursue this way of telling those stories and having that involvement in what's happening in Ukraine?
When the war first started, like the full-scale invasion in 2022, I had a rough time. The first month was really rough for me, and I didn't really know how to deal with it and what to think and what to feel. And it was a really tough time. And as I thought about it and tried to help and tried to figure out how to help my family and maybe other people, I realized that, you know, like the only thing I can actually do is music. Like I'm useless in everything else. So I thought, okay, so I should write some music. And and then I quickly realized that actually, even though I was born there, even though I am Ukrainian, it's not my story. So I decided to try to look for people who would be willing to share their stories with me so that I could tell their stories through the music that I write,
okay,
through this album. that I write. And around the same time that I started having these ideas to do this project, Sam Carney from Ice River Films contacted me, and he had a similar idea. He wanted to document the war through the eyes of Ukrainian musicians. And long story short, his very large-scale idea didn't really work out. So we kind of collaborated on this smaller version of what he wanted to do initially. And I told him about my project, and he was willing to follow the project and follow it from the beginning, from the interview stage, all the way to the album's completion. That's how we met and started working on this together.
Did, you know, I listened to the record first and then watched the film and then listened to it again. And obviously capturing sort of the people you interviewed, what they're feeling, what they were going through, the way that they're sort of processing the war and everything they've experienced. How did you, what is the process for you of taking that and then turning it to music? Because I think, again, not knowing the context originally of the songs, they are very emotional. They're very involved. There's a lot sort of happening all the time in this throughout the record, and I think that really, when you hear the stories, it comes through. There's the chaos, there's the anxiety, there's the fear, there's the all of those very, very strong, powerful emotions. How I think you successfully interpreted that musically, but how do you do that? How do you take someone's story and then turn it into something that is, it delivers the same feelings, but it's a totally different medium, right? I mean, it's not the spoken word; it's you're making a musical.
I think the biggest thing that helped me, this is the first time that I had done this, so it was definitely like a learning experience for me as well, and I was learning as I went, but the thing I realized was that I would have to capture it somehow. You know, the interviews were all very long, so having to, for example, like re-listen to all the interviews was going to be too much, so I knew that after I did an interview, I would have to just write down my ideas, my key takeaways from each interview or things that stood out to me. And I kind of kept track of these ideas. And if I needed to reference the interview for something specific, then I would go back. But ideally, I would have notes already. And then from these notes, I would back reference and fill in the blanks if I needed to. But once I had this collection of ideas, of different ideas, then I tried to see bigger themes, because I realized that actually this is very complex.
Yeah.
And, you know, you would think that, okay, violence and sadness and that's it, right? But it's so much more complex than that. Humans are so much more complex than that.
Sure.
So I realized a lot about, how people react in these situations and what feelings they have and emotions through the way that they talked and through the way that they told the stories. And so I realized that I would have to kind of capture that essence and show that to people, you know, show that it's so multidimensional, this thing, this fear of, you know, this war.
Yeah.
You know, war and conflict and death, and it's so complicated. And so I tried to look for connections between all of these interviews and between all the things that were mentioned. And then I came up slowly with 7 different themes.
Go ahead.
Which were one word themes, which are the titles of each track.
Yeah.
7 tracks, and those are the 7 themes.
Thank you.
I guess when you're dealing with something as heavy and serious as war, too, I imagine there's sort of a you have a bit of a responsibility to sort of portray that accurately, right? Like you don't want to, not that you would make light of it, but you don't want to be creating a piece related to that that's going to maybe not have that level of depth and seriousness. So when you were doing these interviews, were those ideas coming to mind at the time, or is this something you, when you went back and watched the interviews afterwards, you sort of got the themes and the notes you were taking, or was it in the moment, like, I know what to do with this, I know what I can create out of this feeling or this emotion?
It was a mix, actually, I would say, because during the interviews, I was really invested in really absorbing what was being told to me.
Yeah.
So I didn't necessarily pick out, like, oh, it wasn't necessarily that one person had a very specific leaning towards one of the themes, you know? Most people had a very complex image of their experience. So it was a bit of everything. But yeah, for sure. There were a few moments where people would say like one sentence and something would click in my mind and I would kind of understand like, oh, wow, this could really be a theme because they expressed their idea so well.
Yeah.
You know, so maybe in moments where someone expressed something very clearly, I felt very strongly that this was an important thing to include. So yeah, definitely. I can give you two specific examples that I remember. Without resources, this definitely happened, where someone was talking about, not having water, heat, all of these things.
Is that the one that has the clip in it? Because I know one of the songs has the audio clip of the interview. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. The one that opens the album. And then the second time it happened was when there was a 15-year-old boy, actually, and he just said one sentence that made me realize, you know, I was like, wow, this boy is 15 years old and he just said this, and this is really important. Basically, the question was, if you were to tell the world something right now, what would you say to the world? This was at the end of the interview where he told me a story, and he said, cherish the things that you have while you still have them. And that shook me. Shook me to the core. And I knew that was going to be one of the things.
Well, especially to hear that from someone so young too, right? That adds to the emotional weight of it.
Absolutely.
When you made this, I mean, I imagine, and also from the documentary too, your own story is weaved into this a bit. You know, you go to Poland, there's the parts about your own family and how they, got out of Ukraine and how they dealt with the war and all of that. So you must have weaved some of that into what you were doing musically as well, right? I imagine it'd be hard to take your own experience sort of out of the overall concepts and feelings that you're looking at.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I tried my best to eliminate myself from the creation or the production of the music, and make it as purely these stories that I heard as possible. But yeah, of course, my influence will be heard on the album.
Yeah.
And but regarding like my own personal experiences, I would say that I tried my best to limit that and really, but again, like all of these things were overlapping. I saw things overlapping. So it did reflect, of course, the experiences that my family had and what I saw on their side. But I tried my best to not focus on that.
Yeah.
And still, like in the end, some musical ideas or some things that I do subconsciously musically, I think are still there in the music, for better or for worse. But yeah.
Well, it's interesting that you say that you try to take yourself out of it, because I think, not to take away from the stories of any of your interviewees, obviously, but I think some of the most compelling parts of the documentary are seeing your reactions to what these people are telling you. I mean, there's obviously, I mean, obviously their stories are the focal point, but you're also there and the viewer sees you sort of taking all of this in and hearing what they went through and reacting to it. Like, it's on your face. It's in the way you're talking. And it's, so, I mean, that's, whether you want it to be or not, I guess that's part of what people are seeing when they sort of take this whole thing in.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of, it's kind of scary. You know, I obviously, didn't know what I was getting into, and I didn't realize that would be the case, you know, especially in the documentary where you can actually see me, you know.
Yeah.
In the album, I mean, it's more abstract, so you can't see me.
You hear it though. You hear those feelings very strongly.
Right, but you're missing that visual aspect. But the documentary, like you said, yeah, like it's very, very obvious what I'm feeling in that moment when I'm absorbing all this information and trying to process it.
But I think that's
better or for worse.
That's a good thing for a documentary to have, though, is have a person as the viewer's sort of stand in. Like you're hearing it at the same time we are. I mean, obviously not because you heard it months earlier when you were making the film, but you know, on screen you're hearing it as we're hearing, and I think that helps to deliver serious messages like that and serious stories and that kind of content that is, it's heavy.
Yeah. I'm super glad that you think so, that it's good for the viewer to see that. I agree. Yeah. That maybe there's also this, not bias, but like, I'm half Canadian, right?
Sure.
And I'm Ukrainian as well. And so I'm a little bit closer to the audience in some way, right? Because we share a lot more than, for example, these newcomers that are coming to Canada, or that are even in Poland, you know, who
sure.
are not even in Canada. So maybe you're right. Maybe there's like a cultural integration or something, you know, that helps to tell this story, and it helps to have some kind of intermediary, you know.
Yeah, I think it helps translate it a bit, seeing that reaction as well as just the story itself.
Yeah.
Thank you.
At what point when this was finished, when you had first of all, you recorded this thing in 3 days, which is crazy. just considering how much is happening in this record. I mean, I know I said that earlier, but it's so dense with just like content, you know, there's so much music happening and it covers such a wide range of feelings and styles and sounds. At what point did you realize that you had sort of completed what you set out to do? Was there a point, was it just sort of at the end of the recording, or was there a point partway through when you realized this was it, you had this thing? Because it's really good. Like, it's really, really good. And there must have been a point where you realized that, right?
Well, I'm sorry, Sam. I really appreciate that you've listened to it and that you like it and that you enjoy it. But unfortunately, like, I don't think I'm there yet, you know? Okay. I can't listen to it anymore, for sure. That's for sure. Because I had to listen to it too many times during mixing and recording, and because some things were overdubbed, you know, because we couldn't get everybody in the same room, and because of tuning stuff, like, it would be too hard to actually record that all live.
Yeah.
Dreams is actually recorded live in the same room, so that's cool. But the other stuff, like separately, for example, and so what I'm trying to say is that I've listened to these bed tracks and to the mix tracks so many times that by the time the album was actually complete, I didn't want to listen to it. And I ended up listening to it one time, and I think it was too early, too close to the actual time that we were recording and working on it. So maybe subconsciously I was still hearing all of the things that I was like, oh, this is wrong, or I remember this moment and something went wrong here and we didn't, you know, all of these things were still in my mind. So I didn't, I wasn't comfortable listening to it, and I couldn't actually be present in the moment to understand what is actually being played.
Okay.
And I hope that soon, at some point, I'll be able to sit down non-biased and have this objective opinion of that music, because right now I'm on the subjective side, because I see what had happened, you know. I remember what happened in the studio. I know what obstacles we were facing. So when I listen to that record, I hear all of those things, you know. And so it's very hard for me to, I am excited that it's out in the world, and I'm excited for people to experience it, and I really want their feedback, because it's really important to me, because I feel a lot of responsibility with this project.
Yeah.
So one of the things that's very important to me is that feedback of, like, did it work at all, you know? Because I'm just doubting myself a lot, but that's something that's on my mind still, you know?
And that makes sense with something like this, probably more than any other project, just because of the emotional weight that all of this carries. And I mean, you know, someone could listen to it without having any context and they could appreciate it on that level, but that's not what you obviously put into this. I mean, that's part of it, but yeah, there's so much more that you're going to be, I'm sure every time you hear any of this, any part of these songs, you hear the stories or you hear that person's experience and that element of what they told you and what they went through. So yeah, I imagine it would be difficult, but hopefully you get to a point where you can listen to it, because I think it worked for what you're trying to do. From my perspective anyway, as a listener who has enjoyed your previous records as well, I think this is like next level here. You accomplished it, I think.
Thank you, Sam. I really, really appreciate that. Thank you for listening and understanding also. It's very important, you know?
Well, I'm trying to anyway. I mean, I think that's why I wanted to listen to it first and then watch the film and then, you know, listen to it again to get sort of both viewpoints. But does your sort of view on listening to this, does that mean any of this is going to get played live at any point? Or is that something that's you have to sort of decompress before you can even approach that?
That's a great question. I'm definitely not feeling ready to play it live at this point, because for a few reasons. I mean, logistically, getting a band like that to actually play the record as it's written is a lot of work, and it's very expensive. So that would have to be worked out, and I'm out of like logistical planning juice for now. I need a bit of a reset moment.
Sure, that makes sense. Yeah.
But But yeah, of course, I mean, I would love to. You know, the things that are on my mind now are, you know, I'm realizing that I love writing for strings. So, you know, maybe at some point soon I would like to write for like a chamber orchestra, you know?
Cool.
And just stop playing drums completely, you know, and just become a whatever composer. But no, I love drums, so that's not going to happen.
Well, I think that comes through the documentary too, that you love drums. I mean, that's your dad's in there talking about sort of you, the way you took to them right away, which is, it's very cool. There's that old footage of you and stuff. It's neat.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a part of my life for a very long time, and it's been an important part of my life. Feels like home, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I was going to sort of ask about, you know, you mentioned the strings and the composition part of this, because like you said, you're a drummer. People, I think, know you at this point as a drummer. Obviously, you do a lot more than just drums, but when you're, I mean, composing for something like strings, that's obviously probably a completely different skill set than playing drums, than improvising on drums, than working with a jazz group. So where does that come from? the ability to do that? Because I think that's what sort of impressed me a lot about the record, is just the amount of different styles and sounds and concepts that you have created musically. And not to say that drummers are not able to do all these other things, but I mean, thinking of you as a drummer, it's kind of like, oh wow, this is cool. This is not something I knew that she could do, but clearly you can. So how do you go from being a drummer to then being able to compose for strings? Or, you know, there's vocals on this, there's horns on this, there's all kinds of instruments happening.
I think ever since I was a child, actually I started playing piano when I was 9. That was my first instrument. And shortly after I started playing drums, but actually around the time that I started playing drums, maybe 6 months into playing drums, I was also super interested in guitar because, okay, as you see in the documentary, my dad plays bass. He's like a hobby bass player, and he's a great musician. He has great ears, but that it's just his hobby, right? So he does it on the side. But yeah, music was always part of the household, and with my dad, like, we would talk about music and we'd play music together, and he introduced me to a lot of things, and he had guitars at home, so I was interested in playing guitar also. So around the same time that I started playing drums, I also tried to play guitar and learn some things on guitar. And then I had to decide, you know, because like, if I was going to take anything seriously, I would have to decide. And, you know, so I did piano and drums for a long time, pretty seriously. And then piano kind of fell off also because, yeah, I was like, okay, drums. And by the time university came around, I was like, I have other things I need to focus on. I can't be practicing two instruments at the same time. So I think all of those. And then in high school, I had to play trumpet 1 year, you know. I had to play timpani and percussion section.
Okay.
And like different keyboard mallet instruments. So I think all of these experiences, and I'm super excited to learn new instruments and you know, I love all of the sounds. So yeah, totally. During all of this writing for this album, I knew that I wanted some folk instruments, some strings and all of these different things. And I don't play any string instruments. So that one was tough. That one was definitely like, listen to string arrangements and string works and check out the scores and see the ranges for each instrument and understand the purpose of each instrument in a string quartet.
Yeah.
You know, just like a jazz trio, each instrument has a purpose. So if you understand the purpose in a string quartet, then you at least know, you know, what approximately it should sound like.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense.
And then when you know the range of the instruments, then you know what you can do, you know, that's kind of like the size of your canvas, let's say.
Sure.
And you kind of go from there. You come up with a melody and then you kind of voice it out in the same way that you would in jazz school when you're learning how to write for big band or whatever, you know. The brief little stints that we had, and you kind of combine all that stuff. But yeah, when I was writing this album, I definitely borrowed an accordion and I tried to play accordion, and I learned one song on accordion and figured out the range of the instrument. Same with the bandura, the Ukrainian instrument. I got someone to explain to me how it works and what the range is and what's possible. So yeah, I think I'm just extremely interested in sound and texture, and I want to learn. So you just put yourself in there and you just learn. Yeah.
I've been sort of giving you my opinion as a listener, but you're going to have two different groups of people, I think, or maybe more, but listening to this, you're going to have the people who are interested in the music. Maybe they've heard your other records, they're just in jazz, they want to check it out. And then you have the Ukrainian community, which is hearing this probably in concert with the documentary, and there's just so much more sort of, everyone has been watching what's happening in Ukraine, but I don't have family there. I'm not connected to the culture. So for me, it's a very outsider view, but I imagine people within the community here in Winnipeg even are this is a different experience for them. Have you had, what kind of feedback have you had from people within the local Ukrainian community?
Not any feedback directly about the album, and the feedback I've received from the Ukrainian community is also like the music community. So it's a little bit biased,
sure.
From the regular Ukrainian community, like the average Ukrainian community, I've only received feedback on the documentary, and it seems like people appreciated it. And one of the things that many people had mentioned was that, like everybody, they are trying to move on. They're trying to figure out their lives, new lives. And this is like a reminder. But they also said, but thank you, because this is important, And so I think in a way it's a similar thing for everyone,
Yeah, that does
war
make sense.
War fatigue is a serious thing, and if you're not there present in the moment, I guess you're human. To protect yourself, you want to forget about something. I guess this also is like why children, like with trauma, they have very bad memories of childhood and, these things. It's interesting.
Yeah, it is for sure. And so, before Zoom is going to kick us out pretty soon, so before we wrap this up, where can people see the documentary, first of all? I know you had a big premiere at the Park Theater, but now it's available online. Where can people find it?
Yeah, the documentary is on CBC Gem, and the documentary is called Voices of Freedom. It's part of their Absolutely Canadian series. So it's there, and that's free to watch. The album is called Until the Sun Comes. And the album is also on all streaming platforms.
Do you think of the album as the soundtrack of the documentary, or do you think of them as two separate but connected pieces of art?
I think they're two separate things. That's why I was okay with them having two separate names.
Okay, that's why I was asking, yeah, because you could have just named it Voices of Freedom Soundtrack, but that's not as evocative, obviously, of what you're trying to put across.
Yeah, that's not what it was. And I think the biggest difference is that soundtracks are written when the composer can already see at least a rough cut of the film.
For sure.
And this was definitely not the case with this album. The album was being as the documentary was being created, and I guess they both influenced each other. They're like two parallel things that were happening.
Yeah. Do you the end goal of all this would be for this documentary not to have had to exist in the first place, right? The fact that the war is happening it sucks, and there's no way around that. But what do you think is sort of what is the legacy of this project? What do you hope the legacy of this project is? Because I know it's new. I know people are just hearing it and seeing it now. But you've obviously put a lot of time into this, more than a regular album, because of the film aspect of it and everything. What do you want people to take away from it, maybe ongoing beyond just today in 2024? Like, do you think there's any kind of message from the people you interviewed or just sort of overall from this whole experience that you'd like people to take away from either the record or the movie or both?
Yeah, I think people can open up more, and they can be a little bit more vulnerable, and they can be a little more aware of what's happening around them. And you need all those things, because then if you're all of those things, you can realize that we all live on the same planet, and that we are all responsible to help, you know, in some way, and that we're all agents of peace.
Yeah.
I know that sounds very, like, you know.
A little cosmic, but, yes.
Yeah, but that's not the point. The point is, like, no, but if you really think about it, you know, like, if I tell you something and then you agree with the idea, maybe it'll be in your mind the next time you talk to someone, you'll share this idea.
Yeah.
For example, that person will share it with somebody else and blah, blah. It's a growing chain, right? It's a chain of events that grows. And this is important because that's how change happens. It doesn't happen with the people at the top being like, okay, you know, in our country at least.
Sure.
And in many countries in the world, change usually happens with the people first. You know, there's a movement and then it works its way up. And we make people at the top feel responsible to change something.
For sure.
And I think that's the point. I think the point in this situation is, like, let's start a movement, you know. And I think my point is that you don't have to stand outside with a poster, you know, to start a movement.
Yeah.
This is something that I hope is much more lasting than me standing with a poster one day and people being upset because they can't drive by.
Yeah, you know? Slowed down the commute by 2 minutes or something. Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, there's, obviously that's important as well, but yeah, the point is, like, something lasting, something tangible, something more, because you realize really quickly that, you know, even though our world right now is super materialistic, that people still have souls.
Yeah.
And especially now, if something touches their soul, it can be very important to them.
For sure. And I think that that's why this works, is because instead of talking about the politics surrounding the situation and the you know, the leaders of each government and then our government and now everyone's involved, you're just focusing on the individual people who have had their lives uprooted because of this. And I think whenever there's any kind of war, that's always who I sort of look to understand what's happening, is the individual people who didn't want this, have not, were part of it and just got affected by it. And I think in any story from any war in any country in any era, that's, those are always the best stories in that they give you a picture of what's actually going on, much more than the headlines, much more than the speeches from the leaders. And I think that, yeah, that's always the legacy of wars too, is the individuals sort of on the ground level and what they went through and what happened to them while this situation completely under their control was going on.
Yeah.